Hello folks, it's your friend Bernie here and welcome to the Co-Working Values Podcast, and it is the series we're doing with Christian and Lucy and is a co-created with Salto around community is the key. So we're going around the world, we're finding people who are really, really good at building community, because like I always say, community is like that catching smoke in the jar thing where people love talking about community, but how to actually practically apply it to your co-working or co-living space still remains a mystery, even to me. Today in the studio, we have Matthias, who a lot of you will know as the co-founder of Co-Working Banksko in Bulgaria, which he founded in 2016. And now his main project is Co-Living Semkov, which is also in Bulgaria. And in this episode, I met Matthias in, I think it was like 2015 at the WeShare Fest in Paris. And he's one of those people that has just knows how to understand the commercial reality of building a community and really listens to how people, where they come in and when they go out, the transient nature of somewhere like Co-Working Banksko. He's really tuned into the digital nomad community. He's been a digital nomad and kind of holds onto that lifestyle, which I secretly think he adores. And in this episode, we just go through that process of what actually happens in a co-working, co-living community, how to maintain people, how to listen, how to get into their frequency. And the foundations of community building are one of the things you'll walk away from by listening to this podcast. So let's get into the show. Hello, folks. It's your friend Bernie here. And today on the line is co-working legend Matthias from Co-Work Banksko. So what are you known for, Matthias, and what would you like to be known for?
Hey, Bernie. Thanks for having me. So I think Banksko is best known for being one of the leading digital nomad hubs in Europe and having an amazing community in a mountain resort.
It is. And I always remember the first time I ever saw you at the WeShare Fest in your co-boat t-shirt. Whenever I think of you, that's the image of you. So this is part of our series with Christian from Salto about community is the key. And when you've been around that phrase, and I know they've supported a lot of what you do at Banksko, and when you hear people say, you know, community is the key, what does that mean to you nowadays? Because I'm asking it because I know you've seen that phrase evolve and must have been in so many rooms about discussions around that. Where's your head with that in 2023?
So I think for co-working, community is really at the core. It's a little bit more visible in smaller rural places like Banksko, where everyone is really part of this community and doesn't have too many other outside connections and is distracted by a lot of other things. But I think community is really why people come to co-working spaces. So nobody really needs to have a desk or an internet connection or a chair, because you can have this at home. But what you don't have at home is other people that encourage you to really be the best version of yourself and to spend time with and have fun with.
Yeah, that's because I see that a lot where people... This is one of my big quests in this podcast is people put on their website, we have an amazing community. And then when they get in the building, it's like, so what do you mean community? And I think people think they're buying a desk and a chair, but really they're buying that human connection. And how do you think co-working space owners, particularly smaller independent ones, could convey the importance of community in a believable way? I think I'm going to ask.
I think it's an experience. Of course, everyone can put this on their website and put this in their marketing communication. But in the end, it's about the people, right? So when the members come to a space and they feel it's easy for them to make connection with the other members, and if they feel there's many things happening in this co-working community, then they will probably experience it as a strong community. If it's just something that's mentioned on the website and every Friday you have like free beers, then it's probably not a community.
You're so cruel. I love it. There's that sense of community, and like both you and I have this, you know, I don't like the word, but I think it's very important, is that ecosystem thing. Can you explain how you've seen an ecosystem like the Bernie ecosystem or the Matthias ecosystem develop, because that helps your, and you can, you know, disagree if you like, I'm setting you up here, but I feel that helps your personal development and your business development. You know, it's very important to your life. So how does an ecosystem work in a co-working space?
I mean, for us, our ecosystem is also like the local partners that help us to create the co-working Bansko experience, right? This starts with having people that can offer airport transfers to get people to Bansko. We have many hosts around Bansko that rent out apartments or that have places in guest houses and hotels for our members. We have some restaurants that have started to adjust their menu to our more vegetarian and vegan members. We have some places that we frequently go to. For example, every Thursday, we always go to the hot springs, and we have a special deal there. And they have also started to adjust to the food requirements of our members afterwards. I think we were the ones that convinced the local grocery store to also have like vegan milk. So we offer like non-dairy milk in the co-working space for people that are either lactose intolerant or that are vegan. And all this is impacting like the suppliers and the businesses around the co-working space. And only this is creating an ecosystem. We have some of our own adjacent businesses. So I started a big event, Bansko Nomad Fest here a few years ago, that brings people for an event each summer. I also started like co-living Semkovo, which is a new concept where we will also be able to offer accommodation. So I think you always need to look at what are the needs of your community and then figure out, is this something that you want to offer yourself or do you want to convince a partner to offer that?
I know exactly what you mean there. How do you, in your experience, what's the best way to find out what your community actually needs? Is it sending a, you know, Google form survey, or how do you do that to like get like robust, actionable feedback?
So, I mean, you need to talk to people, right? Not everything is digital. Sometimes it's just easier to ask people, or sometimes they don't really know the answer themselves and you need to observe them. What I found is always like a big advantage for myself is that I'm actually part of this community. So I'm a digital nomad myself. Most of the activities that happen at the co-working space here happen exactly because I enjoy them. And of course, this makes it also easier then to anticipate what our members enjoy and what they need. But most important, you need to talk to them and you kind of need to listen between the lines, because sometimes don't realize what needs they really have. So if you just send out a form where you already predetermine all the answers, then you won't get lots of good insights. So you need to talk with people.
I totally agree. It's harder work, but you get a much better insight in the long run. And in your years of being in the co-working industry, and you must have seen, I know you've seen lots of people open co-working spaces. And what is a kind of rookie mistake that those new co-working space folks make that you would like to, and this is your opportunity to save them from themselves, Matthias?
So I think a lot of operators underestimate the need for marketing. And this is not only the marketing when you open the space, but marketing is an ongoing activity, because you will always have members that leave your community, which means you also need to have a constant stream of new members that sign in. Of course, for us as a destination co-working, where people specifically come here and then leave after a few months, to a different destination, that's even more important. But I think also when you're in a big city where you have lots of other co-working space around you, you need to make sure that you position yourself in the right spot for the community that you want to attract. And this means you need to be constant on marketing. For us, this normally means like we share a lot of the things that happen around the co-working space on social media so that people can see what type of activities to expect. We also often promote our members. This also helps for other people that are not here to see what type of people are in the location. And of course, we provide them a lot of information around co-working Bansko to make it really easy and a no-brainer for them to come here.
What's in that? People always ask, like, you know, how do I build a community in my space? And I've just talked with so many people who have a very new space. And I've said this myself, so I'm being cruel to myself. It's like, oh, people will come to my co-working space because of the community, and there's like nothing there yet. So how do you get that first bit of community going? And like, where do people go wrong, and where would you like them to go?
So I think most important is You need to be part of this community. Either if you as owner-operator are part of the community, or if your community manager is part of the community. But you need to have a core where you really enjoy the things that you offer to the community. So, for example, if you have a family and you leave the co-working space at 5 every day, then obviously you will not have a lot of evening events for your members, because there's nobody to guide them. Also, for us in Bansko, what formed kind of the core of the community was like all my digital nomad connections. So the first year, maybe the first 2 years, mostly people that I knew and their friends showed up. So if you are not part of the target groups that you want to attract, then it's really, really difficult. So I think, first of all, figure out, like, why do you really create this space? What is the vision behind it? And then it's easier to create a community. If you come from a real estate background and you see this mostly as like a flex office space, then you will have a flex office space and not a co-working space, because then it's not going to create this initial community, and you won't be the one who is kind of attracting other people to join the community.
That's what Janine calls founder bias. Like I believe in that. You kind of, if I opened a space for like slightly chubby, bald, middle-aged men, it would just fill in seconds, because I think you attract people like you. What is a really good way to get a community going? Is it like having a, you know, like a holiday camp where you have a list of activities to join in, or is it some other way?
I mean, again, it depends what type of community you're building. Let's say that you want to build a community of artists and graphic designers, then maybe some of your events and activities should be to showcase what your members are working on, also to the public, maybe offer some kind of matchmaking with potential customers. For us here, for the digital nomads, a lot of our activities are based on like recreational activities. So we have board game nights and poker nights. We have volleyball, and we do a lot of group dinners, of course. We do potlucks. So we bring people together after work so that they don't have to go home to an empty apartment. But I think also sometimes it's the small things. It's like, how do you arrange the tables? So if you have a location that has a lot of small offices, then it's very difficult for people to become friends with each other, because they have to open a door to go somewhere else. We have here mostly like large tables for between 8 and 12 people per table. And of course, this means that people will sit close to each other when they work, and then they have also the chance to make other connections. We often go to lunch together. It's not as formalized as some of our other activities, but it also helps to get people together to talk when they're not busy with work. So you need to create these opportunities for people to really get to know each other. And then I think a community will form.
That eating together is like in Fento Co-working, where I am in Vigo in Spain, we cook lunch for each other every day, and we always sit down and eat together. And that's probably the first time I've done that every day in the whole of my co-working life. And it is amazing for connection. That's my, one of my favorite things about co-working and any group of people is eating together. What was the first, can you remember back to your first co-working space, Matthias? Where were you?
I joined a co-working space in Salzburg, a smaller city in Austria. And I really enjoyed the community there. So I was one of the first members. I could see how the owner, Romy, how she started to build this community and how she did it. And she really empowered her members to do a lot of things around the co-working space, which I found very inspiring. And I was a member there for 5 years, and I started a co-working pop-up based on this experience called Co-working Camp, where in the off-season we always went for 6 weeks to a 5-star resort hotel in Turkey and in Tunisia, like around the Mediterranean. And this was my first experience with like offering co-working for other people. And then based on this experience, I decided at some point I want to start my own co-working space. And together with my friend Uwe, we looked around the world a little bit, and we found this place here in Bulgaria, and we decided, okay, let's move there and let's have a really small co-working space just for our friends. And then it kind of started from there.
It's not the only way to do it, but a lot of my favorite co-working places are started like that, is people kind of scratching their own itch. I'm not going to list them all as I'm saying that. They're like popping into my head. So with co-working, the Salzburg co-working space, you said about the member, they You said something about she gave power to the members. What can you say a bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is the idea that instead of you building the environment and all the activities for the members, you open it up. So, for example, here in Bansko, we allow people to rearrange furniture, to bring their own paintings and artworks, to make changes to the environment. But we also enable them to create any type of event. So we have like a Facebook group for members, and basically anyone can create an event at any time and invite everyone else. And of course, there are some events that we do on a regular basis that I think are good, but ultimately it's up to the members to decide. And we also, we don't really have a community manager that's now responsible that 30% of our members show up at any specific event. It's more like driven by the interests of the people. Some things are more popular, some things are less popular, but we provide the platform for everyone to kind of find what they want to do and be able to express their passion and be empowered to also lead in this community.
That sounds so attractive. What is the, I know there is a difference, so forgive my very odd question, but what's the difference between somewhere like Salzburg where you were for 5 years and a place that's more fluid like Bansko? So there's what are the distinct difference between how you deal with a remote member or a remote worker or digital nomad person versus someone who's a permanent fixture?
I mean, it's of course it means to be in a more transient location like we are, you constantly need to attract new people, right? So if you are in a city, then often once somebody joins a co-working space, they will stay there for several years unless something specific happens in their life. But here at our location, people normally come between 1 and 3 months, and they are leaving not because they don't like it anymore, but they're leaving because they also want to see other places in the world. So we have to be a little bit more focused on attracting members. But I think also for the community, this is more exciting because it means that you always have fresh people and you can make new connections. If you're in a more stagnant co-working environment, then you already know everyone after a while and there's no new connections that you can make. So I think this is the biggest difference, that if you have a more transient community, it's more effort, but it might also be more value for your members if they seek these connections. Of course, if somebody just wants to have like a workspace where they can focus because at home there's a wife and the family and the dogs that's distracting them all the time, then maybe they don't need this. But for most of our members, they want to make new connections all the time. So they enjoy this more transient environment.
So one of my last questions is, how do you use an app or a, you know, gadget to make that community? Is it like only offline or is it online? And because, you know, I know there's like 14,000 Facebook groups for digital nomads. Like,
I mean, we have a tool. So we have a member directory that's online. Everyone who becomes a member can sign up to this to see who is in their co-working space at any given moment. And we also have a Facebook group where all our active members are part of. But I think this is just like one aspect. Much more relevant is that people actually sit at big tables together, that they go for lunch together, that they spend time at various different activities like professional networking and learning opportunities, but also a lot of social activities like going to the mountains on the weekend. And this helps people to really see other members from different perspectives and then make connections with them.
Yeah, I know you're not supposed to say this out loud, but like, I find online communities sometimes draining, and that real life thing. So my last question, which I love asking people like you, is in the whole like 7 or something years since you started Cowork Bansko, what is the biggest challenge you've had to navigate?
So I think to some extent we became victim of our own success. So when we started co-working Bansko, there were no digital nomads here in Bansko, and everyone specifically came to be part of the co-working Bansko community. Over the years, Bansko has grown because of us significantly, and also because of the event like Bansko Nomad Fest. So there's now, I think, 4 other co-working spaces and 2 other co-living spaces in Bansko. And of course, digital nomads know each other. So fragmenting our community a little bit. If now some of the friends end up in a different location and they do their events and we do our events, it prevents like this initial magic that we had where everyone was doing things together. So I think the biggest challenge of us is like, how do we keep this very tight community together? How can we create this magic experience that you don't get somewhere else? And the answer to this from my end is we have purchased a big 17,000 square meter building in a remote location about 45 minutes away from Bunsko, where everything is happening in one building. We will have 250 apartments and a pool and a restaurant and a climbing wall and a lot of other things in a location where there's no other things happening. And I think this will create this magic community that I've been chasing since I opened Coworking Bunsko.
I've seen it all online, and it does look freaking amazing. And you know, seeing you develop all this over the years, it's been amazing too. Where is, we can put links in the show notes to all of this, but where's the best place to catch you online and keep up with everything we talked about on this podcast?
The easiest is to connect with me either on Facebook or on LinkedIn, and normally I answer messages quite quickly.
Okay. I really appreciate your time today, sir. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for spending time with us here on the Coworking Values podcast. If you Google Coworking Values podcast, you can find us on the London Coworking Assembly and the European Coworking Assembly, and wherever you are in the world, be careful out there. It is a jungle. Thank you for joining our conversation with Matthias today. Remember, the strength of our communities lies in the collective efforts and shared values. Check the show notes for all the links to the people, places, events, and resources we mentioned in the show. And please rate, follow, share, review, or whatever you want to do, wherever you listen to the Coworking Values podcast. It helps our show's impact in ways you would never believe. It also helps people in the wider general public and in your own neighborhood understand what co-working is, how it can help their local community, and how it can benefit them in building their careers, projects, and work. Have a remarkable day. Be careful out there. It is a jungle.